Welcome back to That Girl Is Going Places. My name is Marin. If you're brand new, today I have on someone very special, close to me in my life, and I'm so excited to bring her on. I have Hannah Eve on today. That's what you go by, right? I mean, you don't go by
your
last name.
I honestly go by both. No, I go by both. It's perfect.
Anyway, so some of you may know her from her intense success and fame on the gram, on TikTok. But I actually know her. She's my boss. And I knew her before then. And she's like a surrogate older sister to me. So, Hannah, introduce yourself. Like what capacity you know me in and something that you're manifesting for yourself right now.
Okay. I'm Hannah. I'm 23. I live in downtown Chicago. I own a marketing agency. So we specialize in organically growing businesses, social media presences. I work with a lot of female-founded, female-focused companies. But really any company that I would be a target client for, those are the type of businesses that I enjoy working with. I began the current agency in college. Now here we are. You know, a couple of years later, and I have a number of employees, including Marin, of course. I also now do a lot of coaching and speaking. So a lot of my business is in that educational piece where I teach women about marketing and entrepreneurship and, you know, really everything that comes along with that. What I'm manifesting right now, I'm manifesting a lot right now, just more. I'm just manifesting abundance, business opportunities, more ways to continue to build businesses and serve others and empower women, and just happiness and everything good.
I love it. So I know that I know you personally, obviously, and have known you not in the current agency context. But I kind of know your backstory and like to believe that you've been destined to be an entrepreneur since you were little based on, your upbringing and certain moments in your life that I think had an impact on you. So what about your childhood, your 0-18 experience kind of led you to the path that you are today? And would you credit your upbringing, to your entrepreneurial spirit?
Yeah, entirely. I grew up with a single mom. I've never lived with my dad ever. And he stopped paying child support when I was 9 months old. So if my mom didn't have the business that she had, I would have been homeless. There was, you know, so where I think a lot of people grew up in a different scenario, oftentimes watching, you know, women be stay-at-home moms, which is amazing and great. I just had a very different experience. And because of that, I always knew that I wanted to be independent. And my mom always talked about being self-sufficient and having an out. I watched so many women have to stay in marriages that they weren't happy in because they couldn't afford to divorce men. And I use those terms just because those were specifically the gender roles that I saw that happen in, but I'm sure that you know, happens in every type of situation in general, right? It's just oftentimes it's a male-female situation. So that was really huge. But then also just watching my mom do what she loved and what she loves and watching her work so hard. She started her business when she was 24 and, you know, so watching her as such a powerful force in business, she was the boss, watching her manage a team, watching people show her so much respect, that played a gigantic role in the way that I approached business and in the way that I approached my future. And also it's just what I knew. It was just natural to me. So it played a very significant role. And also another piece that I don't talk about too often is, I was an only child until I was 7, but then my brother was born with upper cleft palate and autism and just things that required a lot of attention. And I was able to be more independent. So, you know, I think my mom leaned on that a little bit because of that. As amazing and as she was and as present as she was, I had to raise myself a little bit and I also kind of played, you know, like second mom as well. Mm-hmm. So that was a big thing too.
Mm-hmm. And then if you don't mind us touching on this, I think it's a big part of how we connected and got closer over these past 2 years, especially, but mm-hmm. You had a pretty severe experience with an eating disorder. And I think that has played a role into your resilience and just personal growth and self-love experience. So how did that play a role? How did you recover from that? And kind of how has that made you who you are today?
Yeah. So I struggled with disordered eating for basically my entire life. When I was younger, I would emotionally eat to cope. And this is an element that I don't talk about too often, but my mom was a professional dancer. So, and she was a professional dancer in a time in which women were very openly rewarded for losing weight. And the thin ideal was even more intense. So I think that she tried to show me love with food because that was something that was withheld from her. But, you know, I was a little kid and sugar was amazing. And I would, you know, just eat a lot because I wasn't told no, which it's funny how it can swing from one extreme to the other, you know. And I started getting bullied for my weight pretty young, like, you know, first, second, third grade, like kids are mean. Then I got diagnosed with celiac when I was 10. So I was one of the first people to have to be gluten-free. It wasn't a trend. It wasn't cool. No one knew what it meant. This was 13 years ago. Yeah, 13 years ago. So it was very difficult. And I know that sounds crazy now, but it was very difficult for me to find things to eat. Like my mom and I had to drive to the store like 45 minutes away to even get like gluten-free bread. It was not a thing. No one knew what it meant. So I kind of unintentionally lost weight just because it was literally difficult to find food, especially when we would go out. When I started losing weight, I started getting an incredible amount of positive feedback and people started treating me differently. And by this time I had moved to Highland Park and everyone was nice and I wasn't necessarily getting bullied anymore. That happened when I was at a different private school. So it wasn't like I was going from being bullied to not, it was just people were treating me differently. Boys started having crushes on me. Girls wanted to be my friend even more, you know? So it was really this positive feedback for it. And then it became intentional. And then I would, you know, I would try to pack the smallest lunch that I could so that I, you know, wouldn't have food with me to eat. And that was like, I was 10 at that time, 10, 11. And it really just continued on. I restricted for a number of years and ultimately it led to just binging because that's kind of what happens when, you know, when you try. Like I saw this whack job nutritionist who had me counting my macros and weighing my spinach and, you know, all of the protein bar. It was just so rigid. And I would binge because that type of rigidity isn't normal or sustainable. And I couldn't do it. And I came to her, it's devastating. I came to her with a binging problem. I just said, you know, I don't even want to lose weight. I just need to stop binging. And she put me on this, you know, this incredibly strict plan, and it made it so much worse. And then my senior year of high school is when the bulimia started, which turned into this like gigantic thing that I dealt with for a number of years. And I finally opened up about it a year ago. But it's interesting, you know, I decided to share my story because I was sick of just contributing to this false narrative and holding this huge secret. But I think that people like have this idea that like you're recovered and then you're better. Like it doesn't work like that. Like, you know, I saw a picture pop up the other day of me 3 years ago and I saw it and there was, you know, that initial voice in my head is like, oh my God, I looked so much better then, you know, like body dysmorphia, it doesn't just go away. So I try to be pretty open about it because there's too many people lying, you know, like for so many years, people would be like, oh my God, I love your body. What's your workout routine? And I would lie and say, you know, something. And really I just had an insane eating mm-hmm. disorder and I just was tired of contributing to that. So here we are.
I love it. Well, that's how you found Jack, right? Through trying to recover.
I've been in therapy for a number of years. And at that point, when I found Jack, I was, I was already, you know, recovered or, you know, relatively. So it's funny, I went through a really bad breakup and I found myself like completely devastated. And I'm like, well, what else do I have to do besides, you know, finally get better? Like, there's no point. Like, I lost this guy, you know, this whole thing, which probably wouldn't have, you know, whatever. That's when I started going to SoulCycle. And that's when I met you, because I like needed something to throw myself into. That's when I met you. And then I got really serious about recovery. And I'd still been seeing the same therapist that I'd seen for a number of years, but I approached it differently. And I'm like, all right, this isn't sustainable. I don't want to live like this anymore. This is not aligned with my values. And then I found Jack when I was already kind of starting to do it, but I needed more of a push to really like put that behind me.
Mm-hmm. So I know you said that recovery is not linear, which I agree with. And there are still triggers every day, every week. You know, it's not something that just goes away. Same with mental health issues. If you have anxiety, it's not like you're cured from anxiety one day. It's still something that you have to work through. But if someone is listening right now and they're wanting to be more recovered or going through recovery, what would you say to them? What's your advice from your experience on how to have the hope that you can get to that better place and that it's worth it? Especially with eating disorders, it's hard to let your body change the way it's supposed to. But giving that advice from your experience.
Okay. The first thing is realizing you can't do it alone. So for me, that meant having an incredible therapist and an incredible coach. And I use the word incredible because therapists are just people. So it's not about finding a therapist. It's about finding someone that's going to be a good fit for you, someone that knows what they're doing, someone that can actually give you tools to help you. It's not just about unpacking your childhood trauma. It's about, you know, figuring out what you can actually do and implement to stop this behavior from happening. Eating disorders, disordered eating, body dysmorphia, they're incredibly complicated because it affects so many different parts of your brain. There was a study done on healthy male soldiers where they deprived them of calories and 90 some percent of them developed eating disorders after. So there's this physiological component as well. It affects your rewards. There's just so much. So you need someone good. You need someone who knows what they're doing. And if that means, you know, finding someone in your network who takes insurance or saving for it, you need to approach it the same way you would approach something if you had cancer, you know, mm-hmm. And it's not something you can do alone. You know, you really need doctors and people to help you. And I, you know, for me, that looked like having Kay and my therapist and having Jack, my coach. Something that I've been realizing a lot lately is that it's relatively easy to achieve something, to, you know, recover from an eating disorder, to hit a certain number in a business. What's a lot harder is to sustain that. Mm-hmm. A lot harder. Because there's this being, you know, kind of like plateauing at what you've trying to reach, what you've been trying to reach. It's very different. So, and that's something that I think people don't really talk about. And that's the phase that I'm in now, is all right, maintaining a weight that is different than one that I used to be comfortable with, you know, sustaining a relatively successful business, these things that people don't often talk about, this whole part that comes after the climb up. And obviously, you know, I'm still hoping to climb and in all aspects of life, personal growth, relationship with my body and business. So, you know, you can't do it alone. And I would really pay attention to what you are, I don't even want to use the word consuming, what you're consuming. And I don't mean food. I mean, who you're following on social, what you're listening to, what podcast are you listening to? Who are you following? If you're unfollowing, you know, a 90 pound TikTok, Instagram model that makes you feel badly. Can I swear? Makes you feel.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Okay. That makes you feel like shitty about yourself. Yeah. Like unfollow them. Like when I was recovering, I used this app that I don't even know if it exists anymore. I don't remember what it was called. Took the people I was following to zero. And then I only went back in and followed people that I thought of that made me happy. So really paying attention to that and working on the way that you speak to yourself. I like to say, you're not responsible for your first thought. You're responsible for your second thought and your first action. So, you know, today I took a workout class this morning and I looked in the mirror and there was part of my body and that I looked at and I'm like, wow, this didn't used to look like that, right? I can't control that initial thought. I'm not going to judge myself for it. But then it's that second thought of, you know what? You look great. You're healthy. You're strong. It's fine. And I'm so much more than being like a skinny person. Like that's so uninteresting.
The least interesting thing.
The least interesting thing. And no one actually cares. Like that was the craziest part. When I got down to that ultra thin size, nothing about my life was better. Mm-hmm. Not one. There wasn't a guy that liked me more. There wasn't a friend that liked me more. Business wasn't, like, there was just nothing about my life that was better. And I still didn't even like my body. I still thought I was massive. So it's just, you know, when you realize that, like, whatever feeling of unworthiness you're chasing, it has nothing to do with weight.
Mm-hmm. I love that concept. I just posted about that last week about how, like, it's never about if you think, oh, I'm going to be happy at X pounds or at this size in my jeans. Like it's never going to be about that. You can reach that. And like you were saying, it's easy to achieve that. If you put the work in, you can lose whatever weight you want. You can achieve whatever numbers you want, but then how are you going to sustain that? And is it actually going to fill the void in your life that you had? And it never will. It's always about the love that you had for yourself. And it's not going to change based on what number you do or don't achieve.
There's two things. I mean, number one, when I teach Level Up in week one, I talk about imposter syndrome and I share a quote, two quotes, one by Michelle Obama, one by Maya Angelou. Basically just saying that they both have imposter syndrome. Maya Angelou, when she was writing her 11th book, she literally thought to herself, uh-oh, they're going to find out I've run a game on everybody. And, you know, I'm speaking this from memory, so I'm probably misquoting. And Michelle Obama, when she was getting ready to speak, says that she still feels a little bit of imposter syndrome and that lingering feeling that you're not enough or no one should take you seriously. It doesn't go away. It's the same thing. So when people sit there and they have self-doubt and imposter syndrome, there's simultaneously this false belief that if you were to achieve a certain amount of success or, you know, whatever, whether it's a certain amount of money or a certain number of employees or a certain acceptance letter, that those feelings would dissolve, would dissipate, but they don't. Because those feelings, whether it's I'm not good enough physically or I'm not good enough, you know, in whatever sense, they're not actually tied to anything. Mm-hmm. And if you think that they are, you're going to be chasing that feeling forever. So you have to approach it the complete opposite way and say, all right, I'm going to work on feeling good about my body, feeling good about my intelligence, my career now, feeling like everyone else should respect me and take me seriously now. Because if I'm waiting for a title or a promotion, never. Yeah. And I was at dinner with my mom and a close family friend. She's basically like my grandma. And this is a woman who, you know, she, for health reasons, she, you know, I'm sure the doctors have encouraged her to lose a little bit of weight, but she's by no means, she's fine. You know, every time I've ever seen her my entire life growing up, I'm 23, she's talked about her weight. And this woman, we're literally sitting there, her husband of second husband, but they had a beautiful marriage of 44 years, just passed away. Okay, this woman has had a beautiful life. She has so much. And she's sitting there thinking about how many calories are in the cocktail she's about to order. And it's just like, I don't want that to be me, you know, like what? And it's just so sad. And I wish I just could say, Sheila, like you're 79 years old. She's talking about losing 20 pounds. I'm like you're what? Who cares? You know? So, you know, you think that it's going to go away because you're however old, you're 15, you're 20 and you want to lose 10 pounds. If you want to lose 10 pounds when you're 20, you're going to want to lose 10 pounds when you're 80. Exactly. And it's going to be something that consumes your entire life. So.
Exactly. That's a good way to put it. Sending my love to Sheila.
She's thriving, honestly. She's doing great.
No, but I mean, you're right. Like it's not just something that is going to go away. And it's, you were saying like those external things, an acceptance letter, a job, amount of pounds you're losing, a dress size, anything.
For so many people that are listening, it probably is 5 or 10 pounds, which is right. The crazy thing. You know, some people for health reasons, they do have a number, you know, weight to lose. That's right. What that's different. And
yeah.
But so many people, and I assume a lot of people listening, they will always say that they're trying to lose 5 or 10 pounds. If you just can accept
in a constant state. Yeah. Right.
That you're good. Like I could just, Sheila's always been trying to lose 20 pounds. What? Like just accept that maybe you're the weight that you're supposed to be and it's fine.
Right. Mm-hmm. And those like extra 5, 10, whatever, like is also the enjoyment of your life. Like yes. How much is it actually going to bring you to lose something? When you can just, be content with yourself. And I know that's easier said than done. And that's a lot of like self-work, but I think what we're both getting at is like all of those external achievements or factors are virtually like fake and just invisible to your actual idea of self-love and won't actually fulfill anything for you. And it's the internal work that will make the difference, or else you're going to be on your deathbed and still wanting to, you know, chase some unrealistic ideal. So we touched a little while ago on Level Up. I want to come back to that because I think Level Up is amazing. So for those who don't know, what is your Level Up course and how did it come to be? That was last year. We were working on it very hard.
Yes.
And kind of what your goals are for the women who take it.
So it's funny. I got on TikTok as a joke, obviously, like everyone else who got on TikTok as a joke. And I started doing these day in my life videos, and I briefly touched on my business, which I really have never spoken about much before, because I didn't think it was interesting. Like, why would anyone care about my business? You know, like I was trying to lean into the whole influencery thing, which never really worked for me. But the same questions kept coming. And I remember voice noting you and I'm like, Marin, everyone's asking me the same questions over and over. And I don't have time to get back to all of them, you know, and there isn't enough of me to go around. I physically don't have time to answer all these emails and DMs. What do I do? Do I make an ebook? Do I make a course? And I'll tell you that I almost didn't do any of it because I had this fear-based thought. I'm like, why would I create all this competition for myself? Like, why would I teach other people how I do what I do and how I built my business, other women especially? And I say this often, I think, or I know that especially amongst women, there's this like false belief that if another woman is successful, it takes away from the amount of success that you could have, almost as if there's this finite amount of success to go around. Yeah. Especially for women, when in reality, that's the definition of a scarcity mindset. When you can shift to an abundance mindset, which is what I did, even though it was difficult, I'm like, no, like I need to empower these women and teach them, because everyone's asking me what I majored in college. And I know that that just doesn't matter at all. Like I did not learn anything in college that was critical in the development of my business or where I am today. I just didn't. Mm-hmm. So, you know, everyone and so many of the people who were reaching out were marketing students. Because I kept getting the same questions over and over, I decided to create a masterclass. I put it up for sale. I created the dates before I knew what it was. You know that.
And that was a fun like month.
That was a fun
creating
month.
It
wasn't even to be shady. I first of all, I knew that if I didn't give myself a deadline, it was never going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I had complete confidence that whatever I would put together would be of incredible value. So I created a very brief outline. I told myself what the topics were going to be. I put it for sale and then I started creating it. And my intention was to basically pour as much knowledge as I could into a 6-week masterclass. Really everything I wish I had known before I got started, everything that I learned the hard way, you know, lessons I learned from mistakes I made, things that I was blessed to learn or know from growing up with such an entrepreneurial mother in business, and really everything in between. And it's just turned into something that I never in a million years could have expected. hundreds and hundreds of women have taken Level Up, women from all over the world. Now I have a Saturday section always just to accommodate the different time zones. I've had women from Germany, Australia, London, the Caribbean, Austria, so many places that I'm, you know, that I'm not even remembering right now. And it's just incredible. And to watch the friendships that have been formed and the business connections that have been made, it's just, it's become something so much bigger than just marketing. It's, mm-hmm. it's led to the creation of this beautiful community of women. It's a women only masterclass. And now I'm creating Level Two, and it's amazing. And it's, mm-hmm. yeah, I love it so much. It's my favorite part of what I do.
I know, it's your baby. I was with Hannah in like those initial creation processes. And I think back to like the first course that I sat in on. And I think, that it's almost good that you had like a loose outline. Obviously, like we made the course, it was not just like a loose thing once you started teaching it. But I think, I mean, you can add on to, but I think that the women in the course have shaped what it's become based on their questions mm-hmm. and what they wanted to know too. I know like the content has just changed based on what people are really needing to hear. Like I know you touched on imposter syndrome, which I think is a huge part of your course, and more of that like internal confidence before you start working on how to create a graphic for an Instagram or how to, you know, get clients. And starting with that foundation, I think has just come from the experience and having women in your course and seeing what they needed, which I think is amazing that you're listening and just always there for them. And like you said, it's a community of women that they have each other now, and there's the Facebook group, and I get a bunch of emails every day with questions. And it's amazing. I'm so proud of what you've created. I know you never thought you were going to be teaching that ever. No. So I love that.
I never thought I'd be teaching anything. I never thought mm-hmm. I'd be teaching anything. And I don't even really remember, I truly don't remember why I felt so strongly about having the first week be like about confidence and imposter syndrome.
I think it's your experience. I think that's what it is. I think you knew that the difference for you, I mean, I know like we've talked about it, the difference for you in your own business and your like professional success was when you got out of your own way and like went mm-hmm. through, Jack's program, like did your own like your own kind of internal work and like went through that shit on your own, and then professionally that made waves and like you saw success after that. So I think that's why not to speak for you, but I remember these conversations. I think that's an important part of any business besides just getting clients or marketing.
Totally. Completely. I mean, so many people are so skills focused when really like it's very rarely the most qualified person who gets mm-hmm. a job. It's not. I always say this, there are people so much less skilled than you doing way more than you simply because they're out there doing it. Right. And so many women are just conditioned to play small, whether it's because you watched your mom doing that, or that's just what society encourages you to do, or whatever. So it's really about approaching your career with confidence, getting rid of all the toxic behaviors and people in your life to clear space for, you know, what you're calling in, and networking and creating those opportunities for yourself and getting the meetings so that then you can showcase your skill set. But if all we're focusing on is, you know, how to grow an Instagram account and create mm-hmm. graphics and the algorithm, that's really all irrelevant if you can't network and walk into a room with confidence and get yourself, you know, a meeting and put your foot in the door to be able to show people how amazing you are. Mm-hmm. So that's why I did it.
Mm-hmm. My mom works in admissions. You know this, but for people listening, my mom works in admissions at Northwestern for their executive business programs, like adults who've been working for a while and now want to become C-suite. And this means that she's reading resumes and doing interviews with people all the time. And the one thing that she always tells me, especially as I've now gotten my own jobs, created my own resumes, whatever, you can teach anyone how to use Excel, how to grow an Instagram, how to make an Instagram graphic, like all of these skills, like you were saying, literally anyone can learn that. You can teach someone how to do that. The difference is how people are going to remember you after that interview. That's why they're going to hire you. That's why you're going to be successful. What was memorable about your personality? Did you make them feel some kind of way? Like in your course, you make these women feel seen and empowered, and that's why they remember you. They could probably, you know, find someone else who could teach them how to make a Canva graphic, but it's you starting with imposter syndrome and making them feel confident and like empowered in their work. That's the difference and why they go to you. So I think that's important that you touched on that. And I love that you touched on that.
Thank you. I completely agree. I completely agree. I was in the car this morning with a woman saying, you know, she's kind of pivoting in her career. And I told her, I'm like, send me your resume. And if I can help in any way or make a connection, I can. She's like, yeah, but you know, I'm sure that I'm not really ready for that. And, you know, I'm just getting back into this. I'm like, are you kidding? There are so many people that are so much less qualified than you that are in these positions. And and it really is, it was a perfect, like an awful, but perfect example of how imposter syndrome is just so embedded in us, especially as women. And, you know, people's careers transform after they take level up. And of course, you know, I go through all the marketing things, but more than anything, it's the mindset shift. It's really the kick in the ass to go out, make opportunities, reach out, expand your network, tap into your network, and make that happen. And there's this like, this weird sense of like guilt and shame that women have about taking jobs, like as if people are doing it to give them a favor or like, you know, I'm like, they would be so lucky to have you help them. They would be so lucky to have you on their team, you know? And that's why there has to be that shift. It's crazy. It's really crazy.
I know this is a tough question, but to finish up and to leave people with a little note of inspiration, what is the best piece of advice you've ever received? Or one of the best?
Oh my God. I'm drawing a blank. Okay, let's think.
You have a lot of amazing people in your life, so I'm sure you can think of something.
No, I can. I want it to be good. I feel like it has to be. I feel like I have to say something for my mom. You know, I don't know why this is what's coming to mind right now, actually, but my mom would always say, and, you know, I said so many other things that I don't feel the need to repeat, right? Always be self-sufficient and all of that stuff. And I could talk about the importance of hiring a good team and treating them well. I'll say three things that my mom would always say to me. And this is in addition to being self-sufficient, because we're just going to go with the assumption that everyone gets that. My mom would always say, she would tell me to, she'd say, you know, keep your wits about you. She would always say, especially when I was about to go out, you know, if like if I was drinking, going out, she'd say, you know, keep your wits about you. And every time I'm out, that thought crosses through my mind. And as I get farther in my business, I'm exposed to more and more situations that are complicated. And it's to just always, and I don't even know how to explain what that means, but it's just to always kind of keep your head on a swivel and be aware of what's going on and to just live in your values and just keep your wits about you. Just know what's going on. Don't just be this oblivious, you know, person floating around the world. I tend to see the best in everyone, which is great, but sometimes, you know, you need to understand when people are trying to, you know, maybe be shady or whatever that looks like. So keep your wits about you, especially as a woman, you know, whatever that means, whether that's a night out in college or you're in a business deal that feels shady, keep your wits about you. To not decide is to decide, my mom would always say. A stitch in time saves nine. That means, so do it right the first time or else it's gonna take a lot more time later. It's easy to make the simple complicated. It's hard to make the complicated simple. Sometimes we make things so complicated because it's almost easier. And sometimes it's really just simple, you know? Sometimes it's really just, it doesn't mean that it's easy. That might be a really, you know, you know, an unfortunate reality, but oftentimes things are a lot more simple than we make them out to be. That doesn't mean they're easy though. And I think those are really all the top ones, but you know, that's the, yeah. Well, cause I was going to say something, but I guess what I was going to say was advice that I've kind of learned myself. Those are the best pieces of advice that I've been given.
Mm-hmm. Amy for the win. I love her. That's good to leave the listeners with.
But I'll say, you know, but
yes, go for it.
Something that I would say, just because I want to get advice that I would give,
mm-hmm. Sure,
from me, just help other people and be nice and serve them without any expectation of anything in return. Like whatever that means, whether it's, I love giving presents, you know that, it's my favorite thing. Like whether it's, you know, just bringing a small gift to someone that you're at a business dinner with, or just helping someone however you can, even if it takes a few extra minutes, just try to be helpful to others and serve others, because I promise it will come back to you, but just do it with no expectation of anything back. And if you lead with that, which is really why I created Level Up, to help others. If you lead with that in ways big and small, it will pay you back in dividends, as my mother would say. So
that's my advice. I love that. I love it. Wow. You're amazing. And I love you. Do your last little social media plug. Where can people find you if they want to keep in touch?
I'm like, savage, it's dumb. This has been so fun. Yeah. Just last thing I'll say, the little things. Little things go a long way. Okay. Social media plug. Follow me at It's Hannah Eve. ItsHannahEve. You can find everything there. Level Up is linked in my bio. The current agency is linked there. Just if you go to my Instagram, you'll find me. DM me. I don't have a bot or anything. So if you DM me, it's going to be me messaging you back. I'd love to talk to you and connect if you have any questions about Level Up or anything, or, you know, marketing, anything in life. I love to talk to you guys. But yeah. That's me. Thanks so much for having me. This has been so
much
fun.
Thank you, Hannah. With that, I will conclude today's episode. Thank you so, so much for listening, as always. If you did enjoy listening today, please leave a rating or subscribe to That Girl's Going Places wherever you listen to podcasts. It would really support me. And feel free to reach out at That Girl's Going Places podcast on Instagram with any questions that you have for a future Q&A segment, or with any topic requests for future episodes. I love you all so much. I will talk to you again in the next episode, and I really hope that you have an amazing day.